and financially, and I value and I honor you guys and the relationship that I have with you, and also now my family, and then my family that that are from San Diego, like my mom and my dad and my sister, my nieces and nephews. They know I'm here, and in that is a testimony. They know I don't gotta, because I used to be like Pastor Steve, kind of shove it down their throat. Look at me, I'm clean and sober, I'm saved, and but now I've learned I don't really need to say anything, because they know where the church is. They know what it's about. They see the change in my life. I don't need to, say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But when God opens the opportunity, then they will come and say, "Hey, can you pray for me? Can you listen to me? Can you give me some counsel, some advice?" I've been learning that, as I walk with the Lord, that it's about relationship. It's about listening and hearing and walking hand in hand with each other. And that's what you guys have done with me. Many of you know I used to ride my bicycle around here all night long, and I took the brakes off my bike, and because I didn't want to stop, I was on crystal methamphetamines, and I just wanted to keep going and going and going. My track was from East San Diego all the way down to Sherman Heights, and I did that on a daily basis, unless I had to go to school. But when I dropped out, I could do it every day. So a lot of you know me or may have seen me late at night riding my bicycle without a light on and with no brakes, and I'm just going and going and going, and then till like somebody gave me a Bible and somebody shared the Lord with me, somebody invited me to church, and the person that gave me the Bible, I met at a party where it was drugs and beer and all this stuff. She's not walking with the Lord, raised a Christian, rededicated her life and gave me a Bible, and I started reading it, and then I received Christ in my little studio down there in Golden Hills. And I came up here to church and just fell in love with the people, the presence of the Lord, and just kept coming. I even came for women's study, and I helped with childcare. When I was chasing the kids around, and then you hear this boom. Oh, this kid just, this is that me, Dan, doing feedback? Or. He hit the column down there, because I was chasing him, and he looked back, and then boom. Oh, then all these moms came downstairs. I was like, "Oh, Lord, help me." So they took care of it, though. Thank the Lord for the moms and the women's ministry. And I've been in Hong Kong 13 years now. Originally went there to take Bibles for 8 years. I stopped doing that, just kind of refresh everybody's mind. I'm doing children's ministry at an international church in Hong Kong, and it's been a great journey for me. I've been doing that for over 4 years now, and I think, and I've learned, and I believe that family ministry or children's ministry is probably one of the most important places in the church. Even Hitler, who was trying to take over the world, invested in youth and children. He had camps, he had youth camps, he had children's programs. So even he saw the value in, if you want to change a nation, if you want to change a people, you invest in the children. So I think as believers in Christ, I mean, Jesus said it himself that, hinder not the little children to come unto him, because theirs is the kingdom. The kingdom of God is wrapped up in his children. Well, we're children too, but also the young children, that we're to invest in their lives, invest in the lives of the families, the moms, the dads, and just create that. I think that's where the foundation of any church organization lies, is within the family, within the church, within the children and the families. Because they are the next generation. The way the world is going now, it moves so fast that before you know it, they're up here preaching, or they're up here teaching, or they're up here leading worship. The Sunday school teacher was telling me this morning, he's already gone through three generations of kids, and he's teaching the grandchildren now of some of you, and he's seen them come and go. And I thought, wow, that is amazing how fast it goes by. And before you know it, you know, they're wheeling us up here to the sanctuary and getting us coffee and picking us up and for church, you know, because we can't drive anymore. So, yeah, it's been one of the probably best decisions I made in my life is to join children's ministry, or they call it family ministry. So I came to the States this time because I went to a conference in Georgia, down south, you know, and where people are really polite and yes, sir, no, sir, thank you, ma'am. They open the door for you. Different culture over there. And it was great. I just, because we use this curriculum and the curriculum providers had this conference. So we went there and saw the big picture. And it's a big picture they're painting. It's just not, you know, Sunday school program, but it's neighborhood program. It's reach out to the public school program. It's support the family and raising their kids up in the ways of the Lord program. It's partnering with parents. It's not a drop zone for parents to drop their kids off in Sunday school and you teach my kid about God. But it's, hey, parents, how can we help you to raise your kid up in the ways of the Lord? We're here to support you. We're here to love you. We're here to walk with you so that your kid knows who Christ is when they do go to college, when they do go get a job out in the world, when they are walking down the street and they're confronted with all these things that the world bombards them with. I mean, we got these now. We don't have to use the dictionary anymore. It's right here. You can translate languages. You can be across the world in a second with this. And so we need to bring our kids up, especially ones now. We need to bring them up so they're strong in the Lord, so that they know the word, so the parents also will know that the church is here to support them. So, yeah, Sunday school has changed my perspective on my life and my family's life and the church's, you know, how I see the church. It's a training zone. It's a discipleship. I mean, you guys are being discipled right now. I mean, this is one big discipleship group. And I think it all starts with relationship. And what's good about North Park is that you guys do relationship right. I mean, when I first came here, I'd been exercising a lot. You know, I was a little bit thinner. But when I hit the fellowship relationship aspect, you know, especially with Miss Anita, I kind of, you know, my tummy kind of went out there a little bit more. I had to get bigger pants. And but that's one thing I value and about North Park Christian Fellowship is the relationship aspect. And a lot of you know me, know my parents, and it's been a wild ride, you know, and I thank the Lord for it. And I will be hopefully reading some verses out of Nehemiah chapter 1 and 2, but before I do that, just, you know, while I'm painting this picture of my life in Hong Kong and doing children's ministry, I just want to show you a few pictures that I have snapped, of course, on my smartphone. So I got to put this on because I got to go down there.
Just turn it on.
Okay. And I'm amazed at Pastor Dan's technology, his advances that he's done in the church. I think it's awesome. Don't you guys think it's... I mean, he's got like 5 screens back there, and I don't know what they do. I think one is so Terry can make sure he's being a good boy. She's probably sending him messages.
What did you do that for?
But yeah, Pastor Dan's been a great, did I do that right? A great missions pastor. He took me out to breakfast yesterday, and he's great. And yeah, thank God for Pastor Dan. Is it up? See, I can make mistakes with you guys. It's great. I think I can just sit over here, too. Is that okay if I sit down?
Yeah.
Oh, and another thing, this... sorry, Pastor Steve. This green thing...
That was you?
Yeah.
That was Dan. It
reminded me when I first came to church here, Pastor Steve used to be back there, and he'd be shooting whoever was up here preaching. So I got him back... Yeah, Nehemiah chapter 1 and chapter 2. We've been doing character study in our men's group, and we just go from Genesis to Revelation, finding characters that we can study and just learn about. And so that's where I got this message from, because I chose Nehemiah. And also in my university class, because I'm in Calvary Chapel University, totally online. They have office in Otay, down south. And in Christmas time, I'll have my master's degree in biblical leadership. And it's helped me. It's helped me in my work, in my life. Just the current class is biblical problem solving, and Nehemiah had a lot of problems. And just there's a biblical. I just found out this past 8 weeks there's a biblical way to deal with problems. Yeah. And one of them, like Nehemiah, he prayed. He prayed, and he honored God, and God honored him, and God favored him. And Nehemiah saw a problem, and he prayed, and God honored him and favored him, you know, to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So the words of, what time should I stop? Okay, thanks. I don't know. I'm still on like Hong Kong time. Like my watch has Hong Kong and San Diego time. I'm like, which one is it? I call my wife and say, what time is it over there? They call me like at 3 a.m. They're like, Daddy, are you awake? I'm like, yeah, kind of. For you, I am. Yeah. For you, my love, I'm awake. Before I start this, I don't know if any of you can interpret dreams, but I had this strange dream. I was in an old car, like this classic car, and I had a computer screen, and like that's where my computer was, that's where my desk was, probably because I've been driving around so much. And then I was, the college like administrator guy, he was like, he wasn't in the car with me, but he was next to me sitting on this thing. And he was kind of reclining back like Jesus at the Last Supper. And I was trying to show him an email. And then he farted. And then I was like, and he's like, oh, roll down the window. But he's like outside the car. He's like, roll down the window. But there's no thing to roll it down. So he handed me the handle. He goes, here, I don't know what I ate last night. Yvonne, what was that? Beans and what? Hot dogs? In Hong Kong, we call them chun jai, which means sausage. So it's funny when the American come, they get a hot, they say, oh, it has sausage and eggs. They get an egg, a runny egg, and a hot dog. I'm like, where's the sausage? I said, that is sausage. They said, no, it's a hot dog. I said, no, it's sausage. Chun jai, yeah. So the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Chisel, in the 20th year as I was in Shushan, the citadel. These are really hard names, especially if your mouth is dry. So, I need a super soaker up here. I've been in Sunday school so long, I have all these like crazy ideas. Yeah, we should do super soaker communion, you know, just. that Hanani, one of the brethren, came with the men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So I just, I don't know, I just love reading through the Bible and allowing God to speak to me. This morning, Pastor Steve was praying that, you know, that God would have his agenda and that we not have our own agenda. And I thought, that's great, because I didn't really bring any notes this morning. I've been so busy, I didn't have time to print anything out, type anything up. And I just felt like that's perfect. Why don't we just read through the Bible and allow God to speak to us? I mean, it has a lot of things in here that will probably speak to you. Rebuilding the walls, getting back on track with God. Maybe there's some areas that are broken for you. You need to rebuild them. You need to get back with the Lord. You know, many things here. How to, when you see a problem, you take it to God. You pray to God. You honor God. And God, guess what? Just like with Nehemiah, he gave him favor with his employer, with his boss, with the king. And he was the cupbearer. And I like, we're going to read it, but in verse 11, like Nehemiah prayed, and at the end of it, he says, "For I was the king's cupbearer." He didn't say I was just a cupbearer. He didn't say I was just a janitor. He didn't say I was just an administrator. He said, "I was the king's cupbearer." And I look at my situation. I'm not just an administrator. I'm not just the guy that cuts little templates of Jesus out every Sunday so some kid can put it on a lollipop stick and pop it out of a cup because of Resurrection Day. But I am the administrator. You know, I am the super administrator. I am God's administrator in that position. It's important that when we look at ourselves, that we see ourselves as part of God's kingdom, as men and women of God's kingdom, that we can stand up straight, we can walk tall and know who we are in God's kingdom. And so starting back in verse 5, it says, "And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep the covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now." So Nehemiah, who knew he was in God, he knew who he was in the kingdom, he knew who he was praying to, he understood his relationship between him and God and him and the king and him and anybody else around him. And that's how Nehemiah dealt with his problem. And I think the patriarchs from the Old Testament had so much connection with God, it's amazing. They walked with God, they talked with God, they listened to God, they just had this ongoing, supernatural experience with God on a daily basis. I, for some reason, get more out of the Old Testament and how they lived their lives so simply, so basically, that it causes me to think, you know what? I don't need to be religious about my walk with God anymore. I need to be relational. I need to be like the Nehemiahs, like the Abrahams, like the Isaacs, the Jacobs. The people just walked and listened to God. "I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinance which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling place, as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was a king's cupbearer." And I think that's just so simple. When we're faced with a problem or we see a problem and we have a desire to help in the problem, that we just give it to the Lord. And I like how Nehemiah kind of cleared his mind. He cleared the slate. You know, he said, "Hey, there's been some sin here. There's been some problems here. You know, I ask for your forgiveness." You know, Nehemiah was just getting ready. It was like game day now. It's time to press on with this, time to move forward and tackle this problem.
And moving on to chapter 2. And it came to pass in the month of Nissan, not Toyota, Honda. So see, the foreign cars are even in the Bible. In the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, "Why is your face sad? Since you are not sick, this is nothing but sorrow of heart." And I don't know, I keep getting this word relationship, because here's the king, here's Nehemiah, and obviously the king has some relationship with Nehemiah. And he sees, hey, what's going on with you? You're sad. You know, it just wasn't this kind of, you know, I don't care about you, but obviously the king cared about his cupbearer. So I became dreadfully afraid, and I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies in waste and its gates are burned with fire?" Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" And I thought, wow, this is favor from the Lord, for the king to turn around and say, "What do you want from me?" And it reminded me of a time when I was taking Bibles, and I was almost out of the customs area. And the guard came running. He said, "You didn't put your bag on the scanner. I know you have Bibles." I said, "Yeah, but I'm not going to hurt anybody." And he's looking at me like, "What are we going to do?" And I said, "You're going to go that way, and I'm going to go that way in Jesus' name." And after some conversation, he let me go. So God granted me the favor in that situation. And I believe in every situation in our lives, we can just pray to God and understand that we have favor. We don't need to doubt. We don't need to have unbelief. We don't need to say what if or how come or this or that. I think we just simply give it to the hand of God and allow him to lead us and guide us, be attentive to what he's doing and make a plan. I mean, Nehemiah came up with an awesome plan to rebuild the wall. Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" So I prayed to God of heaven. This is amazing too, that the king is saying, "What do you want?" And before Nehemiah even spoke, he prayed. He sought counsel from God before he made any move. And I think it's important for me. I think maybe it's a man thing. I want to fix everything right away. And I think being married for 11 years, I learned, zip the lip, go in my room, you know, make some noise, pray to God. You know, ask God, "What in the world? What happened?" You know, and God will bring the, you know, what I need. And so I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it." Wow, that is exciting to me. Here he is, just he's got favor. Isn't it awesome when you get favor from God? You know, the door opens. Yesterday I needed to turn in one of my final papers, and I don't know why, but they keep giving me A's. So it's amazing, because I dropped out of school in the 11th grade, because in Roosevelt Junior High School, I flunked a grade, so I was held back. I knew the kids behind me in that grade. Went to San Diego High, I flunked again. I didn't know the kids behind me, and I was like the big guy. And I looked around, and I was like, "Oh my goodness, I don't belong here." And I left. I just left. I said, I don't fit in here anymore. All these little guys. And I'm like, oh, no. I'm like the adult in high school. So I left. But after I got saved and committed my life to Christ, I went and took my GED and passed it. I didn't have to take any extra classes. They said, "You're ready." I said, "Really?" I said, "Oh, my goodness." I said, "Well, let's do it." So we did it. And I passed GED, got my diploma. Went ahead and got my bachelor's at Horizon University. Now I'm studying for my master's. So it's amazing when God gives you favor. So yesterday, I'm like, I got to turn in my paper. and I don't want to drive all the way back up to Claremont. I was visiting Felix, and I saw Pastor Steve's truck in the parking lot. And I got in the building, and I knocked on his door, and he's like, I said, I need to use a computer. And I don't think he knew I want to use it for like an hour. He's like, I got to go. And I'm like, I got to use it for an hour. So, you know, I got favor. Pastor Steve let me. He locked all the doors, you know. He locked me in there. He's like, okay, don't do this. Don't touch that. I was like, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Because I was like, I got to turn in this paper because Monday I fly really early in the morning. Can't turn it in then. So I got favor yesterday. And it's just simply by, you know, being attentive to God's leading, God's guiding. It wasn't any special fireworks or heavens. I mean, yeah, the heavens opened up for Jesus. And, you know, rocks moved and all this miracle things happened. Those things do happen. But also there's just the subtle things, you know. We got to listen for the subtle things. Sometimes there's so much noise in the world, especially with your tablets and your smartphones. There's so much noise that we forget to listen for the subtle things. So the king said to me, with the queen sitting there, it's always good to get your wife's approval, like the king did. Women's ministry, men's ministry, I'm going, you watch the kids. How long? But they provide childcare. You don't need to leave the kids with me. So, how long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. So here with, I'm going to end in like 1 minute. So let me set my clock here. Okay. So, you know, I see responsibility on Nehemiah's end, and also the king's. I mean, the king totally just gave favor to Nehemiah. Whatever you want. If you read through the whole entire book of Nehemiah, you'll see all the favor that Nehemiah got, and Nehemiah simply just followed God. I'm not really using my Bible. It's just for pretend. So, but I have my Bible on my tablet. So I was just ready in case the Wi-Fi went down. But Nehemiah and the king had a relationship, and Nehemiah also honored the king. And he asked for permission. And I think that's what relationship is about. I mean, Christ said, I love you. God sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. And we're going to remember that as we do communion. But we also invited Christ into our life. We confessed him as our Lord and Savior, that he died on the cross and rose again 3 days later. So there's a responsibility. Our belief, our walk with God, and especially as I've been in Sunday school, because children need to learn responsibility, and you teach them to be responsible with their walk with the Lord. You teach them to be responsible with their moms and dads, their teachers, and, you know, dot, dot, dot. So, I mean, I just picked this up right now that of the importance that we need when we approach God, when we approach our employers, our pastors, our moms and dads, that we respect them, that we be responsible with them. I think that's one thing I learned when I became a believer. Even though my dad doesn't, he knows God, he believes in Jesus, he understands it all. But when I became a believer, I realized I needed to be respectful to my father and go and apologize to him for, you know, what I did wrong. Hey me, I'm sorry, and I want to respect you and I want to honor you. And even to this day, I listen to my dad, and he says things that are wise. You know, he's been around the block. He's hit the hard and the, you know, he knows. And so I listen to him. And so the king releases him, and I'm just going to finish with these next two paragraphs. Furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I went to the governors in the region beyond the river and gave them to the king, gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. So, it's a very interesting book. And I wish I could just read the whole thing and just share my heart and share my thoughts behind it. But I think we need to now let Pastor Steve back up here and finish this off with communion. Thank you. This is the end of my presentation. Thank you.
The whole purpose of me going to the desert is to seek, obviously, fresh wind and fire, but to seek the Lord in regards to the church. I want to seek God and okay, Lord, I want to be different. I want to do something. I want to move. I want to have something big to share. Say, wow, God, the mountain split before me, and my whole focus was to catch vision. And the Lord didn't give me any of that. Instead, the Lord told me this. And I was studying the Word of God, and it was great. I had a blessed time with me, and just me and the Lord, and all the mice running around outside. It was great. And the Lord spoke to me, and he told me, he says, I have to be the Lord of everything, or I'll be the Lord of nothing. That was just for me. I went out there, and like Byron was saying, God was just dealing with me. I heard him. He said, I have to be the Lord of all things, of everything, or the Lord of nothing. And then I went to Isaiah chapter 1, where God told Israel, because their worship of God became religious. It became a ritual thing, a custom, and an act, and a job. And God said, told them, don't bother bringing your sacrifice, because they're futile. They're futile to me. Don't bother. I don't want them. I'd rather that you not do them. And so the Lord is showing me there's areas in my life that I got to let go. And God has to be God of everything. Everything that I do, even the ministry, I have to let that go. And I got to let God be everything. Otherwise, he ain't going to be nothing. He'll back off. And you can do it yourself. I don't never want to maintain my relationship with God. I want God to maintain it. In this church as well. I don't want to maintain it. I don't want to do it. I want God to maintain it. And so it was really, I had a blessed time out there as well. And so why don't we stand and let's prepare our hearts for communion, and we'll pass out the juice and bread. We'll partake together. I'll share a couple of scriptures, and then we'll let you go and give God everything, because he wants to be Lord of everything.